Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I want to preach a message to you today entitled Awkward Family Christmas. And I can't say it without a smile on my face. Awkward Family Christmas, or even just the awkward holidays. Anybody ever have awkward family holidays? Yeah, the laughter. Yeah, there it is. Yep, you are awkward, right? Your family is awkward. Maybe you bring the awkward. Who knows what it is? But we all kind of have some of those times in life. And awkward is the nice way of saying that your family's weird, or you got, maybe even some drama going on. And it's not even just like awkwardness or weirdness, it's like fighting and frustrations. Anybody ever go and get holiday pictures with your family? Yeah, a few of you. And you try, and usually Junior's crying, and you know, whatever. So yeah, Dale's got him in a headlock. Yeah, exactly. I want to show you a few awkward family Christmas pictures. Here we go, sitting on Santa's lap. Junior wants to be there, but little Susie does not. Get me out of here. Santa, he can't wait to get out of there either. I don't know what's happening here. The pug is like, you got to be kidding me right now. She's just happy that somebody's on her lap. He's got a floating head. Here we go. We got Dad rocking the short shorts in the snow. And the lady in the leotard is doing like dancing fingers, it looks like, and wearing, the other one's wearing a tennis skirt. Anybody like go all out like, I want to showcase who I am right here in this moment. All right, next one. Yeah, stretch out that hammy and tell everybody Merry Christmas. And then, I don't know, purse the lips and act painful. There's another one. What else we got here? Yeah, just crying. Yeah, we love each other, but we don't really want to be here at all. These are some of my favorite ones, actually, whenever the kids have nothing that they want to do with it. That was it. I want to see some of our awkward family Christmas pictures. And so if you could you email some awkward family Christmas pictures to us at fairmountfriendschurch@gmail.com. I'm not even kidding. As well as tag us on Facebook, because we want to showcase some of our awkward family moments. How many of y'all know sometimes as a family we have some awkward church moments as well inside of our church family? And we don't want to, just because times might be hard or frustrating or some drama, we don't want to divorce the family. We want to stay connected to the family. We want to see the power of God drive through the family and not wedge apart, but bring us back together. The holidays can be, I believe, some of the most trying times, because there's an expectation that we're going to be together and we're going to be happy. Dang it. All right. So everybody dress the part, put a smile on your face, and act like you like those kisses from grandma. Act like you want to sit on crazy uncle's lap. Act like, you know, whatever it is. Someone just this morning shared with me that I said, hey, how was your holiday weekend? The response, my brother just passed away yesterday. That's tough. That's hard. That's some of the toughest stuff. Someone else shared that they had family drama over Thanksgiving. Many families, they go through it. And what do we do when Christmas doesn't always look like Hallmark? And when Thanksgiving doesn't always look like a movie? How do we kind of wrestle through this? I hope that we can take some strength in the fact that the very first Christmas had all kinds of craziness. And I want to start unpackaging the very first Christmas and pull out some of the characters of the story and see if perhaps this looks like the normal family. This is the story of the first Christmas, maybe told in a way like you've never heard before. But as I read some of these scriptures today and we highlight some of the characters of the story, we're going to pull out the things that would make the birth of Jesus the most awkward family Christmas ever. So here we have the first two characters. We have Mary and Joseph. and they are engaged to be married. Anyone remember showing up to your first family event with your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Anybody remember that? Yeah? You remember the awkwardness of that moment. You remember whenever, you know, the father-in-law almost was asking, you know, those awkward questions. Maybe the father-in-law or the dad is cleaning his gun. Who knows? He tries to be intimidating. Maybe it's the weird cousin that just asks way too many, you know, personal questions just because they love awkward. I personally like awkward. I think it's kind of funny. Who knows what it is? You show up with new boyfriend, new girlfriend. But can we add another layer of awkward? Now your girlfriend is 9 months pregnant. That's the story. Or you, girl, are 9 months pregnant, and you're about 14 or 15 years old. And, boyfriend, it's not your baby. Awkward first Christmas moment. Hey, I want to introduce you to my girlfriend, Mary. She's pregnant. It's not mine. Everybody welcome her with open arms, would you? Who got her a present? We've got enough passies. Anything else? No more diapers. All right. That's the introduction Mary, the girlfriend, gets to the family. That's a tough introduction. How about this? There are shepherds that were there, smelling terrible, I'm sure, because they were in the fields hanging out with sheep. We all have that one-off uncle, right? Do we all have that? Maybe a few of them. Kennedy, don't talk. Not talking about weird cousins. But I kind of had that, you know, fun, wild uncle. And so back to Kennedy, it was your dad. We have some of those fun characters in our family. Anybody have that cousin or that uncle? Here's what they do. They show up late to Christmas. They drink all the eggnog. They don't bring a gift, and then they jump in the swimming pool. Like, that's this is what happens here to the shepherds. The shepherds who show up. Here's the thing about them. They're not invited, and yet they roll up into the family Christmas, and they stand around and watch. Okay? That's what the shepherds are doing in this moment. It's wedding crashers. Except that it's not a wedding. It's not a public event. It's the most private. It's a birthing. It's a private moment of this woman giving birth to her child, and uninvited guests show up at Christmas. Are there some people you wish that you could uninvite to your family Christmas or to your family events? Here is this moment that we see as they crash. This moment. There's no room in the inn, or no more hotel rooms. Is that what we would say today? There's no more hotel rooms available, because here's the deal. Everyone was home. Everyone was returning back to town because Caesar Augustus had sent out a decree that they were going to take a census in the whole area. So wherever you lived, you've got to return home now, and now we've got to count all of the people. They're doing a census. So now everyone's home. The hotels are packed, and you go home thinking, oh, mom and dad are going to be so happy to see me. And they say, uh-uh, we ain't got any room for you. You're thinking, I remember being gone from my home, whether in college or living in Crown Point, for about a decade, coming home and going back to my childhood bedroom. Anybody ever stay in that childhood bedroom and it's surrounded by all of your Michael Jordan posters on the wall and, you know, stuff like that? Like, I can't wait to take Mary home and I'm going to show her my Little League trophy from 1992. It's going to blow her away. She's going to know I'm a stud. Finally, I'm going to be able to prove. I'm going to pull out all of my scrapbooks from high school and tell her, hey, I actually at one point I had it. All right. I know I'm not as good as I once was, but one moment in time, I was a stud. Let me show you these pictures. I actually had hair, too. It was pretty cool. And you want to show, all, like, I want to go back to my childhood bedroom. Mom and dad tell Joseph, ain't no room here, bro. But the only spot we do is on the back end of the house, and how their houses were built then. Don't think that it was, you know, just they just were left out to dry. They would have basically like a flat, like one big area where they would have their kitchen, their bedrooms were kind of all in there. They would just kind of stay. There was a little bit maybe of a privacy wall or a curtain there for your bedroom. They're on the back end, kind of like a lean-to roofing place where they would bring the animals in, and maybe even a nice setup, like, you know, even people live in their pole barns now because they're so sharp. Not that nice, but something similar to where they're staying on the back end of the family's house or property, and that's where they would keep the animals. I don't know about you, but even if I don't like my son's new pregnant girlfriend, I'm probably going to give her a bed if she's about to give birth. Just me, I don't know, maybe you still wouldn't, but I would at least give her a spot inside the house. You can get on the kitchen table, or you can get around, you can get on a couch. She gets none of that. Hey, let me clean out one of the cow troughs for you, and you can put your baby in this manger. This is a rough introduction to a first family Christmas. Think about this for your family drama. Maybe your family drama is bad. Look at the other behind the scenes stories of this. How about this? Joseph didn't even want to be there. You remember back to your dating years, and there's some of those years, maybe some of you are in those years now. You know, you're kind of walking through some of those dating times. And all you want is out. I don't really want to be in this relationship anymore. You go on these dates, you don't really want to be there. The person is nice, it's all okay, but you're just wanting out and you're struggling to break it off. And now you're invited to the family Christmas. And you got to like hold the little baby cousins on your lap because they like you, even though you know that's over. It ain't going anywhere, little Susie. Sorry, this is going to be the last time we see each other. It's like one of those times where you just can't wait to get out of there. And Joseph is in this moment where it says in the Bible, it says that Joseph was dwelling on these thoughts and ideas of how can I leave Mary? The term in the Bible says divorced, although they hadn't yet consummated their marriage, so they had this betrothal, they were engaged, but he wanted to end it. I got to take this girl home, and I don't even want to be here. There's magi that show up. These are the wise men, the magicians of the day. Or could we even just call them Star Trekkies? These are those that are looking up at the heavens, they're looking up at the stars, they're finding the patterns and what's going on because all of the prophecies of old are now coming true and angels are telling them to follow these stars. So we got these Star Trekkies, kind of that weird bunch, okay? These are the scientists, the nerds a little bit, they're a little bit off. Anybody have those in your family? Just me, okay? And they're the ones that show up. They show up a couple years late because Jesus is now a child, okay? He's no longer just a baby. But he shows up late, and they bring gifts that what in the world is a 1 or a 2-year-old going to do with frankincense? But the scientists, here's what's wise about them. I like this, is they show up after the big crowd is gone because they don't like people. Okay, so they come in late. They come in this moment. And I like this because they bring these presents. We get those awkward Christmas presents from grandparents. One time, my Christmas was we got a car. It was just like a Matchbox car. Not that that's an awkward gift. It was a good gift. I ran that thing ragged. But that was our Christmas gift one year. We got sweaters, I remember, with our names printed on them. Man, nothing a 7-year-old wants more than a sweater with his name printed on it. One year, and this was more on the recent end, I got a package of hair products. Does that just scream regift or what? Like, I know you didn't spend any money on this. We're coming over. Oh, shoot, I should probably get him something. What am I going to do with hair gel? And anyway, I kind of had to work through that one a little bit. House slippers, I remember. So they show up with these awkward gifts. And can I just lay one more layer of hardship on this? Is the king hates you and wants to kill you. So as you roll in to Christmas, there's plots against your life. There's whispers about you. Certain family corners are whispering. They don't like you. There's gossip going on. How can we squeeze them out? Hey, let's do this thing without that couple. Let's go on this little fun adventure thing without them being a part of it. You just feel isolated even in your own family. We see that King Herod is after Jesus and wants to kill him. Who's the person, just think, in any scenario, who's the person that you think hates Christmas the most? Maybe you think of the Grinch. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Maybe it's Griswold's boss who, instead of giving you that Christmas bonus, gives you a year membership to the Jelly of the Month Club. I just was exposed to the Griswold Christmas. What's it called? Family Christmas? Family Vacation? Christmas Vacation. I was going to get there. Musselman's just exposed me to it. Musselman's are exposing me to a lot of things recently. But they're exposing me to this Griswold Family Christmas. Maybe it's Buddy the Elf's dad who just hates Christmas. Maybe there's just a spirit about it. It's like, oh, I just hate the season. Don't you dare even think about Christmas before Thanksgiving, right? People just, they get so fired up emotionally about different things, right? There's all of these amped up emotions that are not bringing peace and joy, and it might be centered on you. Welcome to the first Christmas. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18, I want to read this Christmas story to you and begin to break down pieces of it. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they consummated their marriage, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Wow. All right, this is one full sentence. This is one sentence. Let's read this one sentence again. "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about, colon. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly." Jeez, another weighty sentence. The drama is unfolding right before our eyes. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Do y'all feel how heavy these sentences are? Just me? Good night. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife." Here's the first principle we see to power through the awkward family Christmas. We have to have an encounter with Jesus. You gotta have an encounter in the presence. In order to get through hardships, you've got to live in the presence. So here's Joseph. On his mind is, "I'm getting out. I'm divorcing this family. It's over. I'm not fathering a child that's not mine. I'm leaving." This was Joseph's mind. "I'm not taking care of this child. I'm not taking care of Mary. I am leaving the show." Until the presence of God comes and invades his home and has an encounter with his heart. Can I encourage us during the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, to be intentional to get into the presence so that the times that we have with our families can be redeemed and not hijacked? This is a time where we are probably, not always, but probably for the most part, going to be intentional to be with family, and I hope that the intentionality first starts in the presence. Instead of, we're intentional to replay history. Hey, let me remind myself of all of the hurt and the pain and the baggage and how much we hate each other. Let's revisit those conversations. Let's have those conversations in the car because I'm going to tell you off. Oh, girl, I'm going to tell you off. And I'm going to tell, and I'm going to say this, and then you're going to say that. Oh, I'm going to spank that conversation. I'm going to take you to the courtroom, and I'm going to win. And I'm the judge, the jury, and the jailer, and everybody is guilty. Can we first, before we go back and replay all of the history, come into the presence of Jesus? And what happens in the presence is Joseph's whole mindset shifts. And he goes from I'm out to I'm stepping up big time. I'm putting a ring on it. I'm going to father this child. I'm going to take care of this woman. Something shifts in the presence. And if you want to keep going about business as usual, hey, cheers to hating Christmas and your family. But I believe God would have us be ministers of reconciliation and say, Jesus, the reason I'm on this planet is to restore hearts, not only to one another, but ultimately to you. And the only way I can do that is not through frustration and being a history expert. It's by being a Jesus expert. It's by being a cross expert. It's by being a grace expert. And Jesus, I want to deploy the most insane amount of Christmas spirit, which the spirit of Christmas is Jesus has come to redeem the hearts of sinners. So, first point is I've got to get washed clean so that I can come in with joy. Jesus comes in with joy to the world. The Lord has come. And I can't come in with bummer to my family because y'all decided to come. I got to come in with joy. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that you would experience life to the full. And in the same way, I want to say, Brock, in the same way that Jesus came, you need to come. I will come so that everyone else can experience life to the full. That's the mindset. That's the way a man of God enters the room. That's the way a woman of God enters Christmas. That's the way that we enter into that hard conversation. That's the way we approach our children. I have come that we can experience a life to the fullest extent that Jesus would have us experience it. Verse 25, but Joseph did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own hometown to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what was told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary, She treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Can I encourage you with this? Jesus isn't scared to enter a hardship family. Jesus isn't afraid of awkward. And also, if we're on the planet to be the church, we should expect to not always get privacy moments in the most desirable private times. I can tell you this is just true in my life. It is wedding crashers every day at the Parsonage. What are you doing here? You should have set up a meeting. See ya. No, they're there. But wait, but this is my day. Nope, they're there. And can I encourage you with this? When our minds are saturated with the presence, what else is on our minds than to think of Jesus, this is the reason you came, for the hurting, the dying, and the desperate, and the diseased, and the broken, right? And so people, I want to encourage us, this is the season to get so God entranced, to get the presence upon you, to say, come on, Jesus, I want to minister, I want to bring life to the full to those that are around me. Jesus knows hard family gatherings. He was born in one. He grew up in one. Jesus had whispers around him about his childhood, about his unwed mother. Jesus had this first Christmas where people wanted to kill him. King Herod hears from the Magi. They said, where is this baby that's being born? And he hears, what? There's another king that's been born? And this kingly competition is happening. The king, Herod, says, then we're going to wipe out all of the babies that have been born in the last 2 years. So now Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they're on the run. So they're leaving and they're going to attack. All of the babies are now wiped out. And until King Herod finally passes and moves on, can the family get back to everyday life? Maybe sometimes it feels like, man, once grandpa's gone, we can kind of move on with life. Or maybe once mom and dad are gone. Or maybe once, and we just kind of wish these seasons of life away so that we can get on with life. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they might look like for you. But Jesus was born in one, and he was still able to bring joy in the midst of it. He had a dad that wasn't sure that he wanted to be there. He also had some pretty weird, unexpected Star Trekky friends that showed up when it mattered most, actually, bringing gifts. I would even look for those that are on the outside of the normal family. And who are the Star Trekkies that show up bringing pretty awesome gifts? That show up with gold and myrrh and frankincense? That show up thoughtful and mindful. Maybe they're outside of the family that we need to be mindful of during this time. A few things that happen to me whenever I get into the presence is this. First, I realize how much I need Jesus. And until I start pointing the finger, I must point the finger and say, I need forgiveness. I first need an encounter. I know that they said all of these things, but man, I need to get my heart clean. Jesus, I need you. I need to be forgiven. Then, when I encounter the cross, I think this thing is not just a selfish move. I got to deploy it to others. So Jesus, now I want to forgive brother for saying that. I want to forgive sister for what she did here. Jesus, the same way that you have forgiven me, I need to forgive others. And Jesus would even say it this way. If you won't forgive others of their sins, I won't forgive you of yours. To the degree that you will forgive is to the degree that I'll forgive. So the keys are in your hands. You hold the keys to this deal. And if you want to release others of their sins, then I'll forgive you. If not, then I'll lock you up. And so I get in the presence, just like Joseph. We have this encounter, and our minds begin to shift. So even right now, I just want to get very practical. Who are those right now that we need to forgive? And Jesus, I got them on my heart. I got them on my mind. You know what's been said. You know what's been misunderstood. You know how you've been typecast in the family. You're the black sheep. You know that those things that you said, maybe you didn't mean, but man, they are off and running, and they just replay for the next decade. Jesus, I pray, come and wash that moment clean. Jesus, I pray, bring health into my heart right now. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe your parents played favorites, and it wasn't you. Maybe there was sibling rivalry where they compared all the kids against each other. I don't know. Maybe there was divorce that just destroyed the family. Right now is the moment that we have an encounter with Jesus. Come on, family, let's do it. Let's have this encounter moment with Jesus where we say, Jesus, I need my heart clean. I want it washed. Let's have this little moment right now. Maybe there's those that have these plots and gossips against you. Jesus, come in on that moment and cleanse my heart, Jesus. God, help me deploy forgiveness right now. And even just say their name. Kevin, I forgive you. Susie, I forgive you. Perhaps there's these hardships where people have passed. Just like Joanne shared earlier. Brother just passed away and you're entering into a hardship. And it's not that anybody did anything wrong. It just hurts. It's just tough. Lord, we pray that you would come in even right now and just bring it. It's a great spirit. God, a comforting spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, come in and just love up the hurt parts. Yes, God. And family, I want to encourage us with one more thing. Instead of just having this little encounter moment by yourself, now step outside and extend it to them. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe you need to write a letter. Maybe a letter's great because you can pour out your entire heart and not hear all the feedback and just like, I just want to share my heart. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's getting a really good gift for somebody that their love language is gifts. Maybe. Maybe it's getting a good gift to that person who never gives a good gift. Come on, can Jesus start to shift the way we think? Can he come in with, man, just totally shift our lives around on how we're going to operate? Joseph goes from, I'm divorcing and I'm leaving, to I'm taking on massive responsibility. And it's saying yes. It's putting a yes in your heart to Jesus. Whatever he's putting his finger on right now, and I know the Holy Spirit's moving, and he's putting his finger on some areas in your heart, our response should be yes. So it's obedience. It doesn't say in here that Joseph was fired up about it. It said Joseph obeyed. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. I just got to obey God. God, I'm just going to have to trust you on this one, and I will just obey. And so, church, I'm just going to pray for us. Just stay seated right there, because I feel like the presence is really, really good, and maybe you even want to hang out in the presence afterwards. But as he's putting his finger on your heart, you have a choice, and I pray that you choose wisely, that you would choose to obey those little indicators of the Holy Spirit. Not only to live in the presence, but to have action outside of the presence. Jesus, I just pray over our church family right now. Lord, I pray that we would take massive steps to breakthrough. And that through obedience, we would see breakthrough in our hearts, in our homes, in our families. Jesus, I pray the same way that you shifted Joseph's mindset, would you also shift ours? Would you shift our minds from we say, man, I am out of here, to where I'm showing up big time? God, would you shift in our mindsets from saying, I'm just going to be critical, to saying, I'm going to be the number one encourager? God, where we shift our mindsets to where I only see all of the negative, to where I double down and start mining the gold out of the people in my life. God, do a supernatural shift in our hearts and our minds. And Jesus, we say thank you for modeling how to come in the midst of hardship. Thank you, Jesus, for laying your life down again and again and again and showing us how to do Christmas well. Jesus, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.